And now it's time for Rod and Reel Radio with your hosts, Hopalong John Cassidy, fresh and saltwater expert angler Stan Vanderberg, and all-around outdoors, fishing, and hunting enthusiast Wendy Toshihara. If you love the outdoors, enjoy salt or freshwater fishing, this is the show for you. We'll cover most all of the fishing tournaments and events with special reports while providing you with the information you need as to how and where to experience the best fishing opportunities in Southern California, Baja, Alaska, or just about anywhere the fish are biting. Rod and Reel Radio brought to you by El Cajon Ford at Broadway and Main or online at elcajonford.com. Whether it's time for a new or used car or truck, or you need to take advantage of San Diego's best quick lane for service with genuine Ford parts, brand name tires at competitive prices, remember, nobody beats El Cajon Ford. We have some fantastic guests and reports lined up for you this evening, so sit back, relax, and get ready for the fastest 2 hours in radio. It's all right here, right now, on Rod and Reel Radio, the best stop on your radio dial for all the information you need for fishing opportunities all over the United States. Now here's your host, Hopalong John Cassidy.
Hey, thank you, Mark Larson, and Southern California, welcome again to another Sunday edition of Rod and Reel Radio. I am indeed your underfished host, Hopalong John Cassidy, and we all are here to wish all the dads and the fathers and the father-in-laws and guardians and all of you out there that are overlooking families a happy Father's Day. I'm glad you could come and join us, get away from your festivities a little while, sit around the radio, sit around your computer and listen to Rod Reel Radio. I know we are going to make it worth your while tonight. Let me give you just a little rundown of what we got going for us. First of all, Justin Lukaitis. We're going to talk to him from Lake Havasu. Justin is with JML Outdoors. He is also the tournament director for many tournaments in the Arizona area. But just last weekend, he put on the Spro Frog Tournament. It was an event, we'll tell you the particulars, but an event that drew 143 teams fishing Lake Havasu. I believe that's probably one of the largest team tournaments that has ever been there. Justin's going to be with us to talk about the 2018 Spro Frog Tournament. And then later on, Captain James McDaniels, owner-operator of Grande Sports Fishing. He's going to be with us. You know, last time we had Captain James on, he was telling us that the fish, they look like they're ready. They look like they're ready to bite. Man, did the Grande go out there and whack them. Also had a memorable catch. We'll talk about fishing conditions offshore there and how you can get in on some of this great fishing we're seeing right now. And then in the second hour, a good friend of Rod and Reel Radio, a close friend of Big Tuna Bill's, Captain John Guest with us. John is from Faith Sports Fishing. He has also started a group of six-packs that he calls the Six-Pack Cartel. We're going to talk a little bit about six-pack fishing, what to look for, how to get a hold of a good six-pack guy, what to know, what's good, what's bad. We're also going to talk about the local conditions out there because we were supposed to have a few of the members of the cartel out here, and because the fishing blew up this weekend, they're all out fishing, coming on back from fishing, or going out fishing. So hopefully we'll have a couple of members of the cartel with us. But John Guest is with us. He's going to tell us about Faith Sports Fishing, what's happening offshore, and we'll talk a little bit about six-pack fishing. Wendy, she is not with us tonight because she is spending Father's Day on the water, if you can believe that. She's just coming back from a trip from San Clemente. I saw pictures that she posted on Facebook. I guess she had to prove that she was out there. Looks like they really hit the yellowtail big time. If Winnie can join us later on, you know she will. But here always that we have is the other co-host of Rod and Reel Mayor Radio. He is the voice of 1-800-BASS-BOAT and a pretty darn good fisherman in his own right, both freshwater and saltwater, Mr. Stan Vandenberg. Stan, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Happy Father's Day to all those that qualify.
I know that. Hey, Stan, before we get to you, I also want to say that in the studio I have with me now, Captain John Guest from Faith Sports Fishing. Captain John, how you doing?
I'm doing. We're doing.
Yeah.
Hey,
fishing when we can. Hey, Stan, how you doing, buddy?
I'm alive and well, my friend. How are you?
I'm standing up and walking.
You're on top. That's good.
We've got a lot of great fishing to talk about. And, Stan, I'm going to let you start it off because when I talked to you last week, and to those of you that tuned in last week expecting to hear Bill Boyce and some of the other guests that we had a power outage on the Radio Zion studios that knocked off their telephones and their internet for a little while. We didn't know if we were going to get on the air, so we ran a best-of show. But Bill Boyce has said that he will definitely be with us to talk Destination Baja next Sunday night. So sorry about that mix-up, guy, but we're here live tonight. And, Stan, you take it away because you've been saving some stories and some adventures that you want to tell our listening audience about.
Well, I've been on the water, and next week I'll be in Baja. So
wow.
Fun there, but that's all right. I fished not this weekend. Last weekend I was fishing in the Sierras for what they call the finest annual trout invitational tournament up at Crowley Lake. It's a group of guys, 600 strong and some change, and out of that we probably had 170 or 180 guys show up to fish the event. You're looking for the big fish of the tournament, but they give awards for the big rainbow, the big brown, the big cutthroat every day, and you can get team events for two-man team and three-man team, total weight for the teams for the two-man team. So there's lots of awards, and it's just a ton of fun. And everybody's trying to find the big fish. You can't weigh one in unless it's over 2.5 pounds. That's your start weight. So it's got to be over 2.8 for a trout to weigh in. We had a blast. The fishing was tough, but it's a group of guys. This is our 34th annual event, so we've been doing this for a while. I usually do a seminar at the country club with another guy named Brian Shibley, who's one of the brown baggers. We've been teaching these guys how to attack the lake for years. I unfortunately did not win with a big fish, but I had a big rainbow up to 3 3/4 and a brown trout at about the same 2 3/4 pound.
Nice.
That were, and each day I had two or three weighers that were over 2.5. So I was in the hunt, but didn't do as well as I want. There were several guys that had really, really good fish that actually were disappointed a little later on. Mark Perolini had a 5.03 pound rainbow that he'd caught on a scatter wrap. George Sagan had almost a 3.15, not quite 4 pound cutthroat on a red and white Tasmanian devil.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Stickles had a 5.5 or 5 pound 2.5 ounce cutthroat that he'd got on a Tasmanian, and then the hot color out there was called the Silver Bullet. It's just a small silver body with clear wings, Tasmanian, the standard size one. Because the rainbow trout had spawned already, and we had a lot of those little tiny rainbows out there, and the big brown trout and rainbow trout were just chewing away on them. The guy with that 5.5 pound or 5 pound, we had a 5 pound 3 ounce bow and a 5 pound 2.5 ounce cutthroat there were disappointed because they thought they had the big fish nailed down. The team guys did really well. Mark Higashi from Performance Tackle and Josh Selga had a super great tournament. They ended up with 19 pounds, 10 ounces for the 2 days for their total weight for weighable fish. And they ended up taking home the team event trophies. And I think for Mark, he's always been a supporter of our events up there, and he's done a ton with his tackle shop there to help us go. If you ever need to know about Crowley, you can talk to Mark. He's very, very good up there. But the tournament went to a guy. There was a couple, three guys in a tin boat, you know, and they were out there just struggling away, no locator, whatever it is. They just made a ride out of the marina and kind of went down the bank. Ended up hanging a nice fish that was 4.5 pounds and put it in the in there, and you always turn around and go back against the same angle in the same way that you just caught one up there. If you catch one, there's usually more than one in the area. Brown trout like to kind of cowboy up together, and you got the four, and then turned around and went back through there and ended up with a 7-pound, 15-ounce brown.
Oh, super.
8-pound brown on a I think it was a brown trout. It was a brown trout floating Rapala, number 13 Rapala. He was jerking at four colors, and ended up with a big fish in Tommy Leonetti. And his dad works up there. I think he's the guy that's the Budweiser distributor in the area up there. And Tommy started fishing a couple of years ago. Now he has one of the white jackets. It's the ugly white jacket. Everybody in the tournament wants one of these ugly white jackets. I do not own one yet. I've had it on a couple of times, but it's a white jacket with a brown-painted brown trout in it on the back, and everybody wants the ugly white jacket, and he got it this year, so congratulations. He actually put that 8-pounder in the boat, held it up to take a picture, it almost flipped out of the boat.
No.
But he got it, and good job. He wins the tournament on the big fish, and so congratulations to Tommy Leonetti. And thanks to the guys up there and all of Bishop and the townspeople that were so gracious to us and have been for years, and Adam and Abby Thomason up at Crowley Lake for taking care of us for the weekend that we're up there. Had a great time.
Oh,
and then yesterday we fished one of the last, I got one more event, and then the TOC in September for an ABA event up at Casitas. And tough fishing. You couldn't catch them. I went out there with all the confidence in the world that I was going to be in the top end of this environment there. And we launched at 6 o'clock. At 6:30, I was culling.
Mm.
That being said, so were a lot of other people. not long after that. The fishing was actually pretty good if you got on them. But the weights were not good. We just didn't find the bigger fish, and that was pretty much across the board. The average was 12 to 14 pounds. I was right there, 13.65. But the guys that we passed them midday coming down the bank throwing reaction baits, and they had the same limit that we did. Everybody had about the same thing. Jeff Ju, who is a Skeeter Yamaha guy, fishes for Powell and Peregrine and several others, and another gentleman named Lyndon Riley, who has a new sponsor. We're going to have to get him on the air, called Centaur. They're from New York, and he had a whole bunch of their gear out there, but they were complaining, like everybody else, you can't find a big fish. Well, a little later on, we come to the weigh-in, and everybody else has got 13 or 14 pounds, and they came in with 20.73.
Nice.
And they parked right next to me when we're, you know, cleaning our boats up and getting ready for the awards banquet, and I'm going, man, that was great. You guys were whining same thing as we were. Nobody could get a big fish, and all of a sudden you come in with 20. What the heck happened? He goes, you know, we were going down the bank, and we just decided, well, we're going to try and do something different. So they threw a frog out. Now, I threw a frog all week pre-fishing, trying to get one, couldn't get them to react. They had a couple of them come up and blow up on it and didn't take it. So Lyndon goes, you know, I was watching the Major League Fishing, and he goes, Jacob Wheeler's a great little young guy, and he goes, he was talking about, you know, if they're missing the big frog, put on a smaller frog. He goes, well, I left everything at home, but I opened up the top of the box, and here's the smaller frog on there. So I put that on. He goes, I threw that out there. Next thing you know, they slurped that thing right down. We called out all of our fish and won by over 6 pounds just blew the field away on just switching from the larger frog to a smaller frog to get the fish to eat, which, you know, it pays off to watch a little TV once in a while and follow the rules.
Wow. Hey, you know, Stan, before we leave for break, I want to go back up to the Eastern Sierras. I want to remind our listeners that the Bridgeport Trout Tournament is going to be Saturday, June the 23rd. It is a promotion that's put on by the Bridgeport Fish Enhancement Foundation. Now, this last weekend, there was a 10-pound, 4-ounce largemouth that was tagged and was one of the fish that the foundation had planted last season.
A largemouth or a brown trout or a rainbow?
It was a rainbow, and it was caught in Big Virginia Lake. And then now the foundation, just before the tournament, they have gone in and they've put in 1,000 pounds of trout between 4 and 11 pounds in Big Virginia, Little Virginia, and Bridgeport Reservoir. So this is going to be one heck of a trout tournament up there at Bridgeport. It's the Bridgeport Trout Tournament. It's put on by the Bridgeport Fish Enhancement Foundation. If you need entry forms or want to find out more about that, just go to BridgeportFishEnhancement.com. Download your entry form. All the people that have caught tagged trout this year, and there's been trout up to 13 pounds that has been planted there by the foundation, have gotten free entries into the tournament. But just as late as last Saturday, another 10-pound rainbow came in. So there's still great fishing up there in the Bridgeport area. And with 1,000 pounds of fish between 4 and 11 pounds, I think the fishing is going to continue up there for a little while.
If just I had really the time, I would take a run at that just because that fish is going to start eating. They put it in there, and the first day they don't do so much, but after that second and third day, that big fish likes to get with the program. And they're not all necessarily going to eat the troll bait, but, you know, you could be on the bank fishing a worm, you know, or inflated nightcrawler and have just as good a chance as anybody up there. And the Virginia lakes aren't that big. So, you know, you have a pretty good chance in those lakes. The reservoir's pretty good size, but still with 1,000 pounds, that's a lot of big fish.
And not only that, the biggest one being 11 pounds, they planted those last weekend. So by the time that tournament comes up, they are going to be ready to bite. Hey, Stan, let's take a break right now. We're going to get a hold of Justin Lukaitis. He was the tournament director for the Spro Frog Tournament on Lake Havasu just recently here. We're going to find out all about that event, who won it, and what the tournament was all about. So stay tuned. There's a lot more Rod and Reel Radio to come after these messages.
And now, Fiestas with 38 MPG and Focus with 40 miles per gallon highway, plus C-Max Energy with up to 42 highway EPA estimates. El Cajon Ford has them now. Shop online at elcajonford.com. Choose from hundreds of your favorite F-Series trucks, too. El Cajon Ford knows trucks, no matter what you're hauling or towing, for a great weekend of fishing or for some fun in the desert. Now get special savings on every F-Series truck in stock, 150s, 250s, 350s, at El Cajon Ford. We have commercial trucks too, including the all-new Transit Connect. Finally, a commercial van with great mileage, helping your business get moving again. El Cajon Ford, worth the short drive from anywhere in Southern California, Broadway and East Main and El Cajon, or online anytime, anywhere at elcajonford.com.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
I got a garage full of fishing tackle, and every time I get out on the water, I realize I forgot something important. But I never forget my life jacket. I make sure my buddy Brad airs, too. Save the ones he loves. A message from California State Parks Commission of Boating and Waterways. Angler's Arsenal is the serious angler's first choice for outdoor plastics, McCoy lines, sport products, Democrats and hooks, G. Lewis fishing rods, Shimano products, Albert reels, and just about anything you hear advertised on Rod and Reel Radio.
Brand new redesigned Smoke PT Reel Series. Everything from your spinning reels all the way to your bait casters, the PTA design has the new PTXA frame. Lighter, stronger, bone-crushing drag. Quantum Fishing. We are performance-tuned. Check them out at Angler's Arsenal in La Mesa or anglersarsenal.com or give us a call at 619-466-8355.
Hi, this is BSS record holder Dean Rojas. El Cajon Ford helped me when I got started in my career, and let them help you with a new F-Series Ford truck. And remember, nobody beats El Cajon Ford.
Hey, Stan and I, we want to welcome you back to Raw and Real Radio. You know, last weekend was probably one of the largest team tournaments ever conducted on Lake Havasu, and we've got the guy with us that put it all together from JML Productions, Tournament Director Justin Lukaitis. Justin, welcome to Raw and Real Radio.
Hi, John. How you doing? Thank you very much.
Hey, we're doing well. Stan Vandenberg is with me tonight, and no stranger to fishing frogs. In fact, we just told about a team that won a big tournament down here in Southern California, fishing the frogs. But you had one heck of an event there at Lake Havasu last weekend. You want to give us a little background of the event and tell us about this particular one also?
Yeah, the event started probably about 5 or 6 years ago. It's sad to say, and I'm ashamed to say, but I've actually kind of forgot how many years we've been hosting this event up on Lake Havasu.
That's what happens when you get old.
By the way.
What's that?
That's not a bad thing, by the way.
That's just what happens when you get old, Justin.
It's continued to grow every year, and I sit there, and we were actually having this conversation during check-in and registration with all the anglers. We were trying to all sit around and figure out how many years we've been doing it at Havasu, and all any of us can remember is the very first year we did it, we had 98 boats. And this year we ended up with 143, which is, to my knowledge anyways, probably a record for any team tournament to be held on Lake Havasu. I know there's been some pro-ams and some pro draws that have drawn that many boats, but as far as an actual team event where anglers get to pick their partners and fish together and stuff like that, I think this is probably one of the biggest we've ever had. And that's really all of us could remember was, you know, we knew it had been 5 or 6 years, and, you know, the great folks at Spro, they continue to bring it out. They continue to produce more and more products that allow anglers to fish with, and it's turned into a really great event that I think a lot of anglers just mark on their calendar and say, this is one we're going to go do.
Well, what's wrong with just going out, you got one bait, the frog, and playing for the day and competing against the other guys are limited to the same thing? I think that's a pretty cool deal.
Exactly. And, you know, it levels the playing field so much. And so many guys, one of the biggest questions I get every year is everybody says, okay, well, it's a frog tournament. Well, can we throw the King Daddy? Can we throw the Poppin' Frog? Can we throw the Bronze Eye Shad? Can we throw the Spit Shad? Spro has so many hollow belly frog type baits that, you know, it's really a tournament within itself, but at the same time, it lets people from outside of Havasu and, you know, all over the country for that matter. And we had a guy from North Dakota this year, a guy from Texas, and it's a level playing field that makes for a great event.
Now, also, one of the requirements of this tournament is, number one, it has to be a Spro Bronze Eye frog, but number two, there's not very much that you can do to trick this frog out. It has to be almost brand new out of the box. Tell us any other things that they can do to the frog other than opening up the box and taking it out and tying it on.
That's exactly it, John. We require all of the anglers to keep the frog as stock as it can possibly be. They are allowed to open the hooks. They are allowed to trim the legs. They are allowed to add a rattle. But for the most part, they cannot change the color of any frog. They can't do anything that alters the frog in its appearance or the way it was designed to be worked. So it has to be worked as it comes out of the package.
I remember in one of the tournaments I was at a couple of years ago, one of the teams that came up from Yuma, they were not aware of this rule. So they got a hold of John Galbraith, who runs the tackle store there, Bass Tackle Man, got a hold of him like at 4 o'clock in the morning. John opened up the store. Needless to say, he didn't have a great selection of frogs to choose from people buying frogs for the past couple of days. They got like the last two King Daddy frogs that John had in stock. And as if I'm not mistaken, they went out and won the tournament that day.
Yep, I remember that event. That was Ross Quinata and Joe Pena from down in Parker, And they did. They showed up. They got their frogs from John first thing in the morning, and they just went out and fished them the way they were intended to be fished, and they ended up beating 100-plus boats that day.
You know,
when they get her done.
It's an interesting story, too, Justin, because, you know, you were gracious enough to invite me to come and observe the tournaments for a few years, and myself and Paul Leader came up there to see what we could learn from you. And I remember in the beginning, the fishermen going, man, I don't know, at this time of the year, not only fishing frogs, but the only thing we can fish is the bronze eye frog. I mean, the weights are not going to be very big, that's for sure. And I think this year in particular, that particular lament was really proven to be kind of a fallacy.
It absolutely has, and even the last couple of years we've been in, I think last year was 19 pounds. This year was Ryan Escucha and Bree Montgomery with 21.85 from over there in Southern California. And it's really turned into a great and level playing field event. And the weights are crazy. It's taken, you know, 12, 13 pounds to get a check with, you know, 143 boats. I think it took 1266. Or something like that this year. And you'd think, you know, you take a bait, you know, and it's not a points tournament. There's no anglers of the year on the line or anything like that. So you'd think you'd have guys that go, yeah, we're not going to weigh, but you don't. It's bragging rights among these guys and among their friends. You know, you got guys with one fish still coming up and weighing in, and guys with two fish and three fish, and they don't care. It's all about how well are we doing against our buddies. And it's really turned into almost like an annual reunion for a lot of people.
Yeah, what's nice about this tournament, though, Justin, it's like an everyman's tournament because it's an open, but with Spro's sponsorship and some of the other sponsors that we're going to talk about here in a little bit that help you out. If I'm not mistaken, you have an extremely reasonable entry fee for everything that the teams get, yet there is a big prize at the end of the rainbow.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a $200 entry. That's the basic entry. And then there's a $20 big fish. Everything is 100% paid back, thanks to the folks over there at Spro. This year, first place, they took home $6,000. 28th place, which was the last place check, took home $220. Mm-hmm. Biggest fish of the event took home $1,000. It's overall, like, I can't say it enough, and I know I'm repeating myself, but it's a great event for everything, and anybody that hasn't done it, they really need to mark the date onto the calendar.
Now, also, Ryan Escutia and his wife, and Bree, husband and wife group, actually from San Diego over here. Ryan is an extremely good fisherman, but he was crediting his wife, Bree, for catching the fish. So it's a type of a thing that you don't have to necessarily be a big stick. If you like fishing topwater and you like fishing frogs, this is the event to fish in. And you got to look at Lake Havasu. Dean Rojas, who is the guy that actually invented the bronze eye frog, lives there in Lake Havasu. And he has always said, you know, no, the water doesn't have to be 61 degrees to 65 degrees. And no, the calendar doesn't have to say June something through August something. You're going to get the frog bit all year round, especially in lakes like Lake Havasu.
And that's exactly it, too. You know, I talked to Ryan a little bit after the event, and, you know, they were fishing some docks and they were fishing some tulies, but, you know, at the same time, second place, they were throwing popping frogs out over structure. You know, so it's really such a wide variety. You'd think with 143 boats on Havasu, and I can tell you, I've never fished an event with 100 boats on Havasu. Well, I fished 100 boats, but not 143 boats on Havasu. But it fishes small. It really, really does. And then when you sit there and you say, okay, you're limited to this one bait, it's going to really narrow it down, and it brings out the creativity in you and what you can do with that bait.
You're right. You know, and the one thing about Havasu, because it fishes small, and you get a group of guys on there, and if there's any pre-fishing at all, they better not hook their fish. You better put corks on your hooks, because it trims down those
biters real quick. If you got 140 boats, that's 280 guys out there throwing frogs around pre-fish, and if they were getting the pre-fish, man, it trims it out to where those reaction fish don't come as easy during the term of day. That's an old thing, but in the pro events when they used to have a lot of guys out there, they'd pre-fish a couple of days, and all the easy fish were gone. But the frog thing, I was telling a story just before you got on. We had an event yesterday, and the guys were throwing a big frog. They wouldn't eat the big frog, and a guy was watching Justin Wheeler on TV. He said if they don't eat the big one and they're missing it, go to a smaller one. And the guy had a smaller frog in his boat and ended up throwing that and changing his luck where he culled out all of his fish and weighed over 20 pounds in the last 2 hours.
Well,
I kind of overcast day with light, and everybody likes to fish heavy mats, but that's a bait that'll work on anything. It was working on our light that didn't have a lot of mat work. The light's going down. Everybody figured it was cold, and that fish isn't going to be up underneath the mats, but they were there in numbers. Just change your bait a little bit and change what you're doing. It can make a big difference. And the frog tournament, that's a perfect environment for that because Spro makes several different versions of frogs. You can throw it in a lot of different arenas and play with that.
Absolutely. And, you know, and one of the things that really caught my attention this year was the number of smallmouth that were caught on the frog.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Joe Uribe Jr., who everybody knows, and, you know, we all know is certainly no slouch when it comes to the world of bass fishing, you know, four of his five bash limit were smallmouth.
Oh, my gosh.
And I remember I made the comment to him when he was weighing in. I'm like, Joe, you know this is a frog-only tournament, right? And he goes, you would not believe the number of smallmouth that we caught on frogs today. It's just crazy.
Justin, was there any consensus of opinion on a color that worked better than anything else, or was it just a matter of throw it on out there and they're going to eat it?
You know, John, it was really just a matter of what type of area the anglers were fishing. I know that Ryan and Bree, you know, they threw the original Bronze Eye 65.
Mm-hmm.
Second place was throwing a Poppin' Frog. I know guys that were in the top five throwing the King Daddy, guys that were throwing the Bronze Eye Shad. It really didn't seem to matter as far as the bait, as far as bait specific. It just more or less was on what type of structure the anglers were focusing on. And, you know, were they focusing on those rocky points, or were they focusing on the tule mats or the grass beds or up in the river or in the lake or around the main structure? And, you know, that's one of the beauties of this event being held at Lake Havasu, as well as all the different varieties of baits that Spro makes, is it really allows an angler to say, okay, this is the way I'm comfortable fishing, and this is what I'm going to go do.
Now, we were mentioning Spro, which is a division of Gamakatsu, was the main sponsor of this event, but you had another sponsor that has been helping the bass tournaments there in Lake Havasu, and you in particular with your events, that without them, bass fishing tournaments would be really difficult. And tell us about that tournament, that sponsor, and how they've helped you out.
Absolutely. The folks over at Anderson Toyota, they're in Lake Havasu. Anything that anybody needs, and it's just not my circuits, it's anybody in the fishing industry, anything in the Colorado River Valley or whatever, anything they need, you know, we call those guys over there and say, hey, we want to do check-in, we want to do registration, we want to do a dinner. There's never a question on what do you need. It's you tell us what you want, and we'll make sure you have it.
That's very good.
The support that they give to the angling community, the folks in Lake Havasu, the Colorado River area over there, even over into Southern California. Just Jason Anderson and Jared Lorman, who are the biggest part of that, you know, Anderson Toyota and Anderson Auto Group in general, they bend over backwards for anyone, and there's never any questions asked when anything's needed.
And I know there was a lot of people remembering our good friend Jim Kirkwood, who just recently passed away, that was a big supporter of that event and a tournament director up and down the Colorado River chain over there. It was sad not to see him fishing that event, but, you know, he was probably very pleased and smiling from above watching your success with that frog tournament.
Absolutely. Jim's been a supporter of all tournaments up and down the Colorado River. And
for years.
You know, going for years, exactly. I mean, I remember fishing Jim's tournaments when I was 16 years old. And I'm not going to make anyone do the math right now, but that was quite a while ago.
Now, I understand that everyone was so fired up that you have already gone and announced a date for next year's event. So why don't you spill the beans to Southern California here, Justin?
Absolutely. We've solidified the event. We try to do it every year. We've almost set it up now to where, other than I think the first year that we did it, it's the second weekend of June every year. Mm-hmm. And we've tried to keep it at that date as best as we can. And we have full intention on keeping it at that date for next year. I've already got permits pulled with Arizona State Parks for June 8th of 2019. And, you know, I used to say when we started this thing that, you know, 150 or 200 boat team tournament on Havasu was unreachable. But after seeing 143 boats this year, I know there were some other events going on this week at that weekend that the frog tournament was going on. I think 150, 200 boats is very reasonable to reach on that lake.
You know, everyone was saying, no, you can't do that with the facilities there at Windsor and everything like that. But our good friend Bobby Catula, who is a rep for Spro, probably one of the most critical people in the world. If the Almighty himself finally came down to earth on Judgment Day, Bobby Catula would complain that it was the wrong day. You know, so and he said that thing
you gotta know Bobby
ran perfectly. So Justin, hey, we gotta jump off the line here. People wanna find out more about your events and
If you're serious about your fishing, choosing the right tackle is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. Iserline makes premium fishing lines, including monofilament, Dacron, Spectra, fluorocarbon, battle-tested harnesses, and top angler-tested Iserline tools and accessories. Iserline premium fishing products are created to provide you with the ultimate in strength, dependability, durability, high abrasion resistance, low stretch, and high quality. All Iserline products are 100% guaranteed against manufacturing defects. You just can't buy better value. Iserline will replace or repair at their option, no questions asked, if you're not pleased with any of their products. Catch what you've been missing. Quality guaranteed.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to four extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
The warm weather is here and our lakes and rivers are brimming. Just remember, if you love California and you love to boat, please wear your life jacket. And make sure everyone with you puts one on too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Hey, welcome back to Ron Real Radio. And we want to remind you, this segment of Ron Real Radio is brought to you by the Rockleaf Fish Release System. Now you can release fish back to the depth that they came from safely that are suffering from barotrauma with the Rockleaf Fish Release System. Look for the Rockleaf at your local tackle dealer.
Saturday.
Oh. Hey, we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. Stan Vandenberg's here. I am back. Sorry about that. We got kicked off the line. And I'm not sure if we still have Justin on the line with us. Justin, are you there?
Damn.
Okay. We disconnected with Justin. Stan. Oh, Justin, are you there?
Yes, John, I'm here.
Hey, Justin, thanks a lot for being with us. I'm sorry I got kicked off the line. Did you give the information on how to get a hold of you in your tournament circuits?
We didn't. We had a lot
I just mentioned that next year's date is scheduled for June 8th of 2019. Any of the JML Outdoor events can be found at jmloutdoors.com. And my phone number's on there as well.
I know, because that's important, because I know you're getting more and more Southern California fishermen coming out to visit you on not only their Lake Havasu, but along the Colorado River chain, and even some of the interior lakes of Arizona. So, sir, thanks for being with us on this Father's Day. Congratulations on running a great event, and we look forward to seeing you real soon.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Stan.
All right.
You bet. You just keep up the good work, buddy.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing, Stan. They thought, wow, you're never going to put 100 boats over on Lake Havasu, and here he is popping 148 boats and not only getting 148 teams fishing, but doing the weigh-in, having the release boats, and everything going just bright.
You know, in the old days, we used to draw numbers in all the tournaments, but it's been so long since we've seen even 100-boat tournaments, it's hard to find nowadays. To draw 143 is exceptional. And, you know, on that lake, you know, he was talking fishing small. It's really not that big. When you get that many people on it and they're covering the territory going down the bank, because every one of them is just going down the bank. They're on the trolling motor moving. They're going to cover all that water. They can go up the river, but they got to wait till the water out of Mojave and it fills up all of those little back bays and inlets that you can go in when you go up the river. If not, that's a moot point unless you've got a jet boat, which nobody's going to fish up there. So it's a cool tournament. I wish it was on a different date. Every year it's on the same days that we fish our big trout tournament, so I don't get a chance to play. But I know a lot of my bros go, and they just absolutely love it.
Well, Stan, you know, there's some other great fishing opportunities out here. Southern California, especially in our offshore waters, is looking awful fishy. I was just talking about that during our unscheduled intermission with Captain John Guest, but our next guest is right in the middle of it. He is going out there, trying to go out there daily just to see what's happening. Let's get a report on what's happening to him. Owner-operator of Grande Sports Fishing out of H&M Landing, Captain Jim McDaniels. Captain Jim, thanks for your patience and welcome to the show, sir.
Yeah, good evening. Very happy to be on today.
Well, we're happy to have you on. And, you know, instead of talking about the perspective of fish being out there, you actually have a live fish report from the Grande. You've got something really super to talk about.
Yeah, well, first of all, let's make sure we give credit where credit's due. Our new captain this year, Alex Stockfeldt, has just absolutely amazed me with his fishing abilities this year. Just to give him a little introduction, he's definitely not new to the fleet down here. He's new to the Grande, but he was a longtime deckhand on the Malahini, three-quarter day boat out of H&M before we took over. And then he's done the last 2 years long-range fishing on the Independence. So he's got quite a
great
resume.
Lineage.
He has run every trip so far, so he gets the credit, not me. But, yes, our last three trips have all brought in big bluefin. And the big news of today is today will be the fourth day. They'll be getting in here in just a couple hours around 7:30 with two more nice big bluefin and also a couple of smaller ones. So, yes, we have located, hooked, and landed this big bluefin that we're talking about every day here now for 4 days. So we're kind of feeling like we're starting to get the hang of this, and it's actually just time for us now to switch over to Coronado Island trips. So now that we got this all figured out, we're going to go try to get the yellow tail out, which we're actually really happy about, because that is incredible fishing too. We're pretty lucky to have these options.
Well, it's cool that Alex is doing so well with you guys. You know, he's had some great training.
Well, you know, you're very modest, because you were talking about you finally got into some bluefin tuna, but you guys had one super nice bluefin tuna that came in, and you want to tell us who, if you recall, who got that and what the weight was?
Absolutely, yeah. It came on the kite. We had the kite out with a rubber flying fish, which we troll, you know, drive around eight or nine knots and troll that thing through sonar marks of fish or through breezers of fish. And we've had quite a few bites on it. We've landed a total of three on that method and lost many, many more. And I can't tell you how big these fish are. We know we, we I know what I want to say they are, but I won't because I don't think people will believe us. But we'll just call them huge. And a young lady named Ariel Nye of Stafford, Arizona, happened to be up on the troll rotation, and she got bit, and it was a 200.4-pound bluefin tuna.
Nice!
Which, as far as we know, is the first three-quarter-day cow, definitely this year, maybe ever. We're not sure about that fact. That needs to be fact-checked. But as far as I can remember, that's the first three-quarter-day cow tuna to come back to San Diego, and she did a phenomenal job bringing that thing in. I tell you, it was definitely bigger than she was.
You know, last night I was spending Father's Day with my dad in the San Fernando Valley, and after dinner and everything was over and before we decided to get into a state of horizontal refreshment, I was kind of going through my Facebook page, and I saw a picture of that fish on the deck, and just right next to it was the flying fish, the yummy flyer thing. So I took that picture and I shared it with the manufacturer of that fellow by the name of Jim McCarron, who runs an outfit called Yummy Flyer, back in Hiawassee, Georgia, 3-hour difference. So I said, well, he'll probably get it the next morning. It wasn't 60 seconds later. When he gets on the phone, he goes, hey, John, what a nice fish. Where was that caught? He wanted to know all about it. He was all excited. It was almost 1 o'clock his time, and he was really excited for you at catching that big tuna on that fish. As a matter of fact, we're going to have Jim on the show next Sunday night to talk about that. But, again, congratulations to Eric and the crew, you know, and you guys especially. You're only three quarter days. You're advertised as three-quarter day boats, but you've been getting your customers a little bit extra, and you've been making it like an extended three-quarter days.
Yeah, we're labeling the trip as a full-day trip.
Right.
We have all the requirements that it takes to legally stay out longer. We have, you know, a couple of captains on the boat. We've got bunks on the boat. We've got a full-service galley, and we've got indoor and outdoor seating. You know, if it were to get windy or choppy, we can easily give everybody a place to get comfortable. So, yeah, you know, technically on the books, on our schedule page, it's a 12-hour trip, 5:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. We try to, you know, give everybody a real full day. That's why we're calling it a full day of fishing. Like today, the boat's going to get in at 7:30. Usually between 7 and 8 is when we get back in. So, yes, it is a long day of fishing, but everybody gets to kick back and relax on the way in. And you kind of have to give it that much time because even though we call this local fishing right out front of San Diego, it is about 40 miles, which 40, 45 miles, that's going to take you, even if you're on a fast boat, it's going to take you a little while to get home. So it is nice to we have a shower if you want, and you can, you know, get cleaned up and kick back and take a nap on the way in.
Is that where you've been running for that big bluefin?
Yeah, it's about 40 to 45 miles, and it's been moving around. We start seeing fish as close as just on the outside of the 9-mile bank, but it seems like to get the bites, you just kind of got to get out there a little bit further. And one thing we've noticed is most of the bites come in the afternoon. So the fact that we are still at the dock on our way out in the morning does not seem to be a problem. It seems like those big fish want to bite a little bit better in the afternoon when the sun is out. I don't know if you're familiar with the San Diego weather pattern we've had here this last week, but it's been kind of gloomy, June gloom, cloudy all day. And like right now the sun is out, and the sun's been out since about 2:30, 3 o'clock, and that seems to be when the bites happen. It's a visual thing where, you know, we're trolling that rubber flyer in the wake or on the edges of the wake, and it seems like we do better in the afternoons when the sun is out. So it's not a problem being on a three-quarter-day boat. You don't need to worry about the fact that you're not there right when the sun comes up.
So most of your bigger fish are on the yummy and not the bait then?
Yeah, all the big fish have been on that yummy flyer. We have hooked a couple on flatball jigs that were huge, and they got away. I couldn't tell you how big they were, but we know they're 200-plus. But, yes, the 200-pounder, a 186, a 155, and a 141 have been the four biggies that we've landed on the rubber flyer. And then on the bait, we've been getting a few each day in that 20- to 30-pound class. Nice. And those have been on just fly line sardines.
You know, we're speaking with Captain
Jim. Any particular color on the yummy flyer? Is it all blue and white, or what are you using?
Yeah, that blue and white with a little bit of, you know, silver glitter kind of in it is
yep.
been the one that we've been using.
We're speaking with Captain James McDaniels from Grande Sports Fishing out of H&M Landing. And Captain James, you're talking about three-quarter day fishing. Some people have you know, the image three-quarter day fishing. Geez, I'm catching all these nice fish, and we're putting them in the gunny sacks around the bait tank and trying to keep them cool and trying to keep the fish fresh so I can get back to port. And now we're talking about catching, you know, triple-digit tuna. I mean, how good is that tuna going to be when I get back to the dock? And I think you've got the answer to that question, sir.
Yeah, it's gonna be perfect. We don't even have gunny sacks on our boat. What we do is, it doesn't matter if it's a 200-pound bluefin or a 2-pound sculpin. If you catch it on our boat on a three-quarter day trip, it gets tagged with your number. We staple a tag on the fish, and it just immediately goes down into our fish hold, which is the same fish hold you'll find on a long-range boat. It's what we've always used on our 1 to 3 day trips. We're not doing anything different with our fish hold now that we're running shorter trips. And that's RSW, refrigerated seawater. And we like to keep ours right at 32 degrees, which you can do with salt water without it freezing. So it goes down into 32 degree seawater, which sprays all over the fish. And it's just in perfect condition when it comes out of the well.
Right. So, Captain McDaniels, now you're saying that you're going to be changing gears. Fantastic fishing at the islands. You're not going to be giving up a whole lot. But if people want to find out what your schedule is, how many people are in each boat on any particular day, how they can get aboard or schedule a trip with you, how is the best way to do it?
The best way would be the website, grandesportfishing.com. And you're right, we do have a little bit of a changing schedule here before we go full-time Coronado Islands. What we did is we're making the change gradual because we've already got some reservations on our trips with people that signed up that want to fish offshore. So we don't want to pull the rug out from under them, so to speak. So the trips that already had some people on them were leaving on for offshore. And then we're gradually switching it over to Coronado Island. So we are going to be offshore again tomorrow. It's a definite go. It's got a very light load. We're going to do it again on Wednesday and Thursday, and then also next weekend, both Saturday and Sunday. Those are all going to be offshore bluefin trips. So that leaves Tuesday and Friday of next week, which did not have any reservations. So we put those on for Coronado Island. And then after June 27th, mark that date, June 27th, we go Coronado Islands every day. So at that point, you'll need to bring a passport. For all the offshore trips, we do not require a passport. And pretty much everything for the next 2 weeks all has enough on it to be definite go. So you don't need to worry about us not making our minimum and canceling the boat. If you want to go, put your name on the list and the boat's going.
And, Jim, you suggest that if people going on this offshore trip for bluefin, that they bring the big guns because the big boys are out there.
Yeah, and if you don't have it, you don't need to be scared or let that deter you from making the trip because we have all that and we provide it for you if you want. I would recommend three outfits. The first outfit would be a light outfit for the 20 to 30-pound bluefin and also for the yellowtail that we're seeing on kelp patties, which are anywhere from 5 to 15-pound yellowtail. On that, you're going to want, you know, a 20-pound would probably be on the light side. Call it somewhere between a 20 and a 30-pound outfit with a fluorocarbon leader and a small hook, you know, a 1-0 or a 2-0 live bait hook for fishing the sardine. And then you're probably going to want a 40 or 50-pound rig, which can be a very versatile rig, can be used from anything from yo-yo fishing to a flatfall jig or, you know, fly line bait with a piece of fluorocarbon and a 3-0 hook for the mixed, you know, a little bit bigger grade bluefin. There's a lot of 70-pounders out there. 70-pound seems to be a pretty common size. We've got a, you know, a couple bluefin on the boat today that were 70 pounds. And then you're going to want your big gun, if you have it, you know, upwards of an 80 to 100-pound rig with a heavy leader all the way up to even 200 pound would be, you know, a decent sized leader for fishing a flat fall jig on that big bluefin, or we'll set you up to troll when it's your turn to troll. If you have that heavy of a rig, you're welcome to troll the rubber flyer, the yummy flyer with that, or you can use our setup, you know, the 200 pound heavy setup, and just use the boat gear.
And last, before we let you leave, Captain McDaniels, what kind of loads have you been running on these trips?
Did you ask what the passenger loads are?
Yeah, what have been the passenger loads on these offshore trips?
Not very many. Not very many at all.
So
today we have 15 on the boat. Yesterday was the most people we've had on the boat for the whole year. We had 44, but a common load has been 10 to 20.
Wow. So go during the week, go offshore. It's going to be a limited load, it looks like. But when the word gets out there, man, you're not going to be able to get space available. Captain James, thanks a lot for being with us, and we appreciate that great report. And good luck for the rest of the week. And we look forward to checking in with you from time to time to see how the fishing's going out there. Appreciate to you taking some of your Father's Day to be with us.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to speak with you guys, and we look forward to talking to you soon.
All right. Captain James McDaniels, owner-operator of Grande Sports Fishing out of H&M Landing. Well, we're going to still keep it salty with you. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about six-pack charters. We're going to be talking with Captain John Guest and Captain Matt Johnson from the Escalade. They've been sitting here for the past 20 minutes talking about where the fish are, and you're going to be surprised on some of their comments on where they've seen fish. So we're going to take a break. Stan and I will be back after these messages.
You can count on El Cajon Ford, as so many Southern Californians have for years. El Cajon Ford has the cars and trucks you can count on, like the all-new Fusion and Escape, Edge, Explorers, and more. And now, Fiestas with 38 MPG and Focus with 40 miles per gallon highway, plus C-Max Energy with up to 42 highway EPA estimates. El Cajon Ford has them now. Shop online at elcajonford.com. Choose from hundreds of your favorite F-Series trucks, too. El Cajon Ford knows trucks, no matter what you're hauling or towing, for a great weekend of fishing or for some fun in the desert. Now get special savings on every F-Series truck in stock, 150s, 250s, 350s, at El Cajon Ford. We have commercial trucks too, including the all-new Transit Connect, finally a commercial van with great mileage, helping your business get moving again. El Cajon Ford, worth the short drive from anywhere in Southern California, Broadway and East Main and El Cajon, or online, anytime, anywhere, at elcajonford.com.
He's not just my fishing buddy. After 30 years, he's a brother, and I'd sure hate to lose him. His bass boat's got nothing to do with it, so I make sure both of us wear a life jacket. Save the ones you love, even if they don't own a fancy boat. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Quantum Fishing's gone and done it again for you with a brand new redesigned Smoke PT Reel Series. Everything from your spinning reels all the way to your bait casters, the PTA design has the new PTXA frame. Lighter, stronger, bone-crushing drag. Quantum Fishing. We are performance-tuned. Check them out at Angler's Arsenal in La Mesa or anglersarsenal.com or give us a call at 619-466-8355.
Attention Rod and Reel Radio listeners. Be sure to check out the Code Group mobile app. You can listen to the Rod and Reel Radio show live, along with show archives, without internet access. The Code Group app has all kinds of cool features for fishermen, including daily Southern California saltwater reports, weather reports, episodes of Inside Sport Fishing, marine traffic, and much more. Get the free Code Group mobile app by texting the word REEL, R-E-E-L, to 90407, or enter the words Code Group in the App Store on your smartphone.
It's a big deal. You know, I've always wanted to be on Rod and Reel Radio Line. I won the Bassmaster Classic. I did a McDonald's commercial, but now I know I've made it.
I fulfilled my dream. That is just absolutely awesome.
Hey, Stan and I, we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. And how unfortunate, we're having troubles with the commercials over here. So Well, you know, just stay tuned. If we can get that problem fixed, we'll get some of those commercials back to you, because you're going to want to hear from Elkhorn Ford and Cedrus Outdoor Adventures and Quantum Fishing and Rockley's Fish Release System and California Boating and Waterways. So hopefully we can get that problem fixed. Well, listen, I want to welcome my next guest to the show. These guys are six-pack captains, and we're going to talk a little bit about the fishing offshore. We're going to talk a little bit about fishing six-packs, what to look for, how to choose a great six-pack, how to get a reservation on there, what to look forward to, the experience that you could have. We have with us from Faith Sports Fishing, Captain John Guess, and also Captain Mike Johnson from the Escapade. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate that.
Now, we're going to talk about six-pack fishing first, but Matt, I'm going to start off with you. You know, when Captain McDaniels was talking about where they were going to fishing, you guys have actually been out there in the water. Your group of six-packs has been out there in the water. Tell us about some of the places where you've actually seen the bluefin this year.
Well, we've seen them as close, like James said, as the 9 Mile Bank. Also, reports coming in the last couple of days from some other boats have seen them up to 3 miles, right on that drop off, on that 100-fathom drop off.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Off of Point Loma or Imperial Beach?
Point Loma. Then there's been some reports of some fish just outside the kelp in La Jolla.
Oh, my gosh.
They're
everywhere.
Well, it's just a matter of going where the bait is, and we've been reporting for I don't know how many months, the biomass of red crab, you know, small squid, saris, no-see-ums, and everything like that has been pretty tremendous out there. Matt?
So the fish last Wednesday when we were out had half to one-inch squid and the micro sours.
No kidding.
Yeah, so they're eating both deep and shallow.
Okay. And what do you think we had? You know, Stan had asked Captain McDaniels about, you know, fly lining baits, and they've been getting some of the smaller fish on fly lining baits, but the bigger fish were coming off the big 200, 250-gram flat falls. Why are they eating that big bait when it seems like there's all that feed down there? If we knew the answer to that, we'd be catching more fish.
They're bluefin. That's all I can say.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good answer, by the way.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, so, but you guys have been out there. As a matter of fact, the reason why we don't have some of your cohorts on, Mike Shackle and Jake Frazee from the Jackpot, they're out there right now. They're still chasing them.
Yeah. They might make it in. John?
Maybe. the word from Jake was that we were on Farmers all day. We're still looking. I'm going to be late.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, let's talk about some of the advantages of fishing a six-pack. You guys can get out there. You can get on the fish a little bit quicker. So if you're talking about a full day of fishing, it allows you a little bit more opportunity to find it and get on them. So, Matt, start off with that.
Our average full-day trip leaves about 5 a.m., and, you know, it could be back anytime to 10 o'clock.
Okay.
I'm going to sleep on the boat if I need to for the trip tomorrow. You know, or if we limit out, we'll be back early. But on the Escapade, it's about the experience for the person and enjoying the whole time they're on the water. Our boat is 40 by 13 and a half. It's wide. It has a lot of space on it. Family of six or a group of buddies can come out and just enjoy it by themselves and not worry. There's bunks. You want to take a nap? Take a nap. But most of all, enjoy yourself.
Right. And Captain John Guess, you've been a friend of Ron Real Radio's for a long time. You came aboard originally with Big Tuna Bill and Eddie McEwen, and you would give reports on the Faith when you had it down in I think was it La Paz, Loretto, and everything like that. The Faith has a great tradition. Tell us a little bit about the Faith and where it is right now and what you're doing.
Well, right now we're running out of H&M Landing officially. we're doing basically what we've always done. You know, I do everything from half day to multi day trips. Faith has got the capacity. I can fuel her in San Diego, go fish Socorro, and go into Cabo and fuel again. But we're mostly doing just local stuff right now. You don't. There are fish right out the back door.
Yeah,
and a lot of people aren't getting on that. And there's more fish moving in every day. It gets better. Yesterday we got yellowtail, barracuda, bonito, right outside the bay. So and other guys like Matt said, they're reporting bluefin 3 miles off. Fish just outside the kelp line at La Jolla. I mean, there are fish everywhere. The spotter planes are reporting that they are seeing more bluefin tuna in schools than they have ever seen before, ever. They're reporting schools. That school of fish has got, that's 100 tons right there. That school's got 60 tons. That school's got, you know, whatever how many. And it's hundreds of tons that they're reporting. So the fish are there.
Oh, my God.
You know,
and it's just getting better every day.
Stan?
Your boat, you know, my family kind of has a long time history with the Faith and John's boat there. But that's a pretty great boat, that Hawthorne.
It gets bit.
It does.
I tell you. It gets bit.
And there's another boat that. All the old guys that went down to Guadalupe Island, there was a boat called the Megalodon.
Yep.
And that was the yacht that was down there doing the six-pack charters and catching those big bluefin when they were down there. Both, this was way back when, but it was the Hawthorne, and it was a very, very well-known boat in the industry at that time. Yours is the same style boat, and it's very comfortable to fish. You can walk all the way around the sides of the boat comfortably. You know, it's not one of those you're going to fall off. It's a really great fishing utensil that's out there to take advantage of.
Right. Well, they're a little bit different than the East Coast boats. You know, the boats that were designed and built to fish here are, you know, they got wide walk around because everybody know, you know, you get hooked up, you're not going to be standing in the stern there or sitting in a fighting chair the whole time you're there. You know, sometimes it's like run to the bow, and I mean go, you know, so you got to have the space. Matt's boat's the same way. He's got really nice wide walk-arounds to get up and down it.
Man.
So that's what you have to do, you know. It's just like a sport boat, only scaled down.
Well, John, I've known you for a long time. We're speaking with Captain John Guess and Captain Mike Johnson. John, you're trying to put together a consortium, or as you call it, a cartel of guys. Tell us a little bit about what the plan is. And, Matt, is this a plan you've been made aware of or not?
Kind of. It's I refer to it as the six-pack cartel. I figure, you know, you watch the news, you see anything, everybody's in a cartel anymore, so we ought to be too. But it's just the six-pack boats all pulling together. There's a group of us particularly that, you know, we work together. Hey, you know, I'm booked. I got this trip. You want to take this trip? Or,
right.
Or hey, I got an engine down. Oh, I'll be right over there, you know, or stuff. Just working together, and it makes it a lot easier on all of us. Not everybody is so willy-nilly to get in on it. A lot of guys are... what's a good word to describe it?
Well, you know, one hand washes the other. In other words, if you do a favor for a friend of yours, you know, they're going to pay you back because it's a small fishing community.
Well, that's right. Missing nowadays, John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the bite is going to get that it's so good that there's going to be plenty for everyone. But I guess that's the question I have to ask you because I'm not as familiar with four packs and six pack charters and everything else like that. So I have to start from square one. I'm a square one guy. Take me as a square one guy. What do I look for when it comes to fishing a six-pack or a four-pack or a smaller boat than you'll find with one of the commercial sports fishings that you find out of the landings? What do I look for, and how do I know that I'm getting what I'm paying for?
To me, it's word of mouth. Try to find somebody, whether... nowadays with technology, Yelp, but talk to somebody who's fished with those people.
Okay.
A boat might look nice, but that doesn't mean the crew's good crew. It doesn't mean the boat's well kept. Those are the main things that you want to look for, is a safe, friendly crew and a well-kept boat. Because we all want to come back.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have a recreational boater that goes out and buys himself maybe a nice Blackman or Parker or something like that and go, hey, I'm going to start a charter business.
Well, there's a lot of people like that out there.
Just that.
What do you need to have all your ducks in line to say that, hey, officially, here out of San Diego, Coast Guard approved, insurance, what do I need to run a six-pack? Because, you know, that also affects the price, because you've got all this tremendous cost,
right,
just to make sure that your passengers are safe, as opposed to, and we know that this is a little bit of a problem here in Southern California, the pirates or the renegades that are out there that are not quite doing it as they should. John, why don't you start off with that?
You'll find, and what we're finding out now we've got the San Diego Harbor Police and the Coast Guard are coming down on these illegal boats. If you're carrying passengers for hire, we are what we call, or what's referred to as, an uninspected vessel, which means we can carry a maximum of six people. But we have to have charter insurance covering all of our passengers, and now everybody is requiring a $1 million liability on that. You have to have a licensed Coast Guard captain. You've got to have a drug program to make sure that your crew is not going out there altered. They're looking down on it as, well, nothing happened. Well, what if something did happen?
That's it.
And then you know.
Yeah, ahead, Matt, you've got a question. Or
one
you
thing, if you're chartering a boat out of San Diego Harbor, that boat needs to have a Port of San Diego business sticker on it. And if that boat doesn't have that, it's an illegal charter. You're supposed to fill out a manifest that gets sent to whatever marina or landing, so that if you don't come back, also people know. People know where you are, all your contact information's on there. Just like when you go on a big sport boat and you sign in the galley, you fill out that information so that if something happens, they have people. But that red sticker this year is an indication that it's a legal charter. Now, at a Mission Bay, there's different regulations there with City of San Diego, but out of the Port of San Diego, that red sticker.
Stan, you can jump in on this. Being one of the largest insurers of water vessels probably in the country, I'm sure there are a number of charter organizations that you insure, and you know pretty much the things that they need. And at the same time, you know that that's part of the cost of doing business.
Well, that's, if you don't have the right one, you know, that's the real problem. And a lot of people think, you know, they can call a guy and they can say, yeah, I got insurance. But, you know, so often, I can't even tell you how often I get a hold, somebody gets a hold of me and say, hey, we need to make sure that we're covered the right way. And I look at what they have and they're not covered at all. A lot of the people, I mean, the first thing I'd ask, you know, some of these guys, they go, well, you know, I got my boat insurance through my insurance agent, and I go, well, do they even own a boat? Do they know anything about what the coverages are that are different between the policies that are on the market? And when you start commercial fishing and six-pack fishing, it's a different ball game completely. Six-pack is different than commercial, and if you're a commercial boat and you're fishing for money for, you know, harvesting fish and bringing it back for sale, that's a whole different ball game too. And there's only a few carriers that do that in California anymore, and there's getting less. Six-pack charters, the same thing. There's, I think, three companies that are doing six-packs now. Some of them have fallen off the board as of the first of the year this year. So there's a lot more to this insurance game, but having insurance is a really important thing. If you're running with a boat, you want to make sure they're doing the right thing, and they're doing it the right way.
You know. And guys, you know, we know you're fully insured, but we also know that with the Coast Guard, Port of San Diego, City of San Diego, and then other entities that you do, even the Department of Fish and Game. There's a lot of hoops that you have to jump through.
A bunch.
Before you can even have the words come out of your mouth, would you like to come and fish with us?
Right.
You know? And then there's a matter of a little bit of experience. And, John, tell us a little bit about your experience fishing. How long has that been?
Let's see. I got my first Coast Guard license in 1977. So I've been licensed that long, but I was fishing long before that. But my experience runs down to Zihuatanejo, Mexico, and a little bit beyond.
Mm.
So I've made I don't know how many trips up and down the Baja, fishing a whole lot of places. Mag Bay was like my backyard. It's just getting to go, you know. I said, well, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice. Well, how do you become a good fisherman? Practice. Getting out there, you know, paying attention. Don't be a closed-minded kind of guy. You know, what I always refer to as a prima donna kind of captain. I know everything. You don't know everything. You can't know everything.
No.
So, you know, I keep my eyes and my ears open. And listen, some guys can't. Oh, we got the tuna this way. Oh, very interesting.
John, I still learn new stuff every day.
Yeah. Every day. That's right.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's just, you know, Matt is a third generation?
Yeah,
third generation fisherman.
We're talking about Matt Escapade from the Escalade. Matt, tell us a little bit about your background. How'd you get to where you are now?
Oh, wow, it's been a long road. My grandfather and my family fished in the tuna industry, and I started knee-high to a grasshopper, going fishing with my grandfather, and then he kind of put me under the wing of Manny Silva.
Some people
remember that guy.
Yeah, that's a good guy, boy.
You know, so in the 80s, grew up working on the sport boats, doing some commercial fishing. In 1989, left the fishing industry, went in the Coast Guard for 4 years, and was an engineer in the Coast Guard and also did some law enforcement there. Got out of the Coast Guard, worked in the fishing part-time and worked construction for 20-plus years. And now that I'm starting to creep up on age, I decided I want to get back into it. So the Escapade, my partner and I, we went up to Astoria, Oregon, bought this boat in January, and I just spent the last 3.5 months restoring her.
Well,
and
so you just need to go up and buy a boat off the shelf. You do what you hear a lot of the skippers do. You found the hull and basically the basic boat that you were really interested in, and you go, hey, this really has the potential of being something special.
Right.
The Escapade is a solid fiberglass hull. She was built in 1970, and it's a Tolly Craft hull. And then in 1970, after the hull was built, they shipped it to Westport Marine in Washington, and they customized it. It's a one-of-a-kind. There's not another one like it. I've been through her from stem to stern, and everything is replaced that needed to be replaced, fixed that needed to be fixed. And she is looking good, and she hums along.
And Westport Marine is one of the predominant boatyards on the coast. I mean, when you're watching Deadliest Catch and those people that are fishing up there in Alaska during the off season, they send their boats down to Westport because they know how to do it right.
And this boat spent her whole life in Oregon, Washington, and Alaska, and now she's in a warmer climate and ready to catch yellowtail, tuna, mahi. And maybe another El Nino. We'll get some more Wahoo up here.
I like rafting. I love whitewater. But I never forget that snowmelt in the river can cause cold water shock. I wear a life jacket always. Anyone with me has got to do the same. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
Hey everybody, this is a message for our listeners from a new Baja Magic Lodge at Cedros Island. Cedros Outdoor Adventures wants to make your dream of fish at Cedros Island a reality. Want to go after giant calicos or yellowtail with the best Cedros Island fishing organization, but you just don't know who to contact? Then give Cedros Outdoor Adventures a call at 619-793-5419, or even better yet, log on to their informative website at cedrosoutdooradventures.com. There you can visit their trip calendar and schedule a trip that's convenient for you. Once again, the phone number is 619-793-5419 or their website of cedrosoutdooradventures.com.
I got a garage full of fishing tackle, and every time I get out on the water, I realize I forgot something important. But I never forget my life jacket. I make sure my buddies wear theirs, too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Hi, it's Tony Gwynn. Nobody treats you better. Nobody beats El Cajon Ford.
Hi, it's Tony Gwynn Jr. For years, my dad said it so often. Nobody beats El Cajon Ford, and nobody treats you better. And that's so true. Now I am proud to join the El Cajon Ford team, because with them, it's all about family. They treat you right. You're part of our family at El Cajon Ford.
Thanks, Tony. We'll see you at Broadway in East Main and ElCajonFord.com.
How, tell me just, okay, I'm a square one guy. I've got five or six employees from my business that mm-hmm. we've done really well. I want to show them a good time. They are fishermen. How do I formulate getting a hold of you and putting a trip together?
Well, we are all becoming high-tech guys now.
Okay.
It's all social media. You can go online. You can look us up. My information right now is at hmlanding.com, but soon I will be having my own web page, things like that. Matt's got his own web page. Most of the guys have got their own web pages now, and you can go online there, find usually there's a picture and information on all the boats with their prices. And you can look and see what you like. And then you can look. They have reviews. And, you can kind of decide. Call the captain. Call the captain. Hey, I got this. I want to do that. What do you recommend? What do you think? And you can ask questions about what kind of equipment the boat has, what her capabilities are, things like that. That information is there for a person to get, and everything's online now. So,
Matt, what are some of the advantages that you're going to offer? Because I know that probably most of the people that come and fish with you aboard the Escalade, they probably fished, the overnights and the day and a half, or they've gone on the long range boats, and they've been very happy with that experience. But they're now looking for a different experience. And tell us about some of the advantages that going out with you on a six-pack can offer the fishermen that they may not necessarily find on one of the sports fishing boats.
Well, basically, that boat, when they charter that boat, it's their boat for the day.
Right.
If they're not having a good time and they want to go do something else, it's their decision. That's the basic biggest thing. And plus, you're with a group of everybody you know. Nothing against the sport boats, but you're not standing next to a guy smoking a cigarette right next to you. You're not a guy who's had too many beers. It's just you, your buddies, your family, and at the end of the day, it's up to you whatever we do.
But at the same time, you can also have a group of quote-unquote novices, or as sometimes
Yeah.
know them as, rod rental guys. And your crew has the ability to give them some great one-on-one time and teach them how to fish and give them the expertise they need to have a quality time.
That's a great point. And so if you come out six people, you're a novice, never fished in the ocean before, you're going to have 2 to 3 crew members for six people to spend a lot of time with them. Teach them how to pin a bait, how to cast a bait, whatever they need, and that's worth its weight in gold. You're not going to get that on a boat with 30 people. So,
and then normally you have great accommodations, and rumor has it that the chow is normally pretty good.
Not too bad.
I don't know about that.
Well, I do. I'll speak for myself.
That sashimi's really good. No.
Yeah, sashimi's always good. It's fresh. I have had people call me and say, can I get this special thing to eat? Or you'll get a guy who says, I can't have this or I can't have that. What's the word I'm looking for?
Accommodate?
Thank you. We can accommodate people to that with special menus. Or I've had guys on 3-quarter-day trips, like a 12 or a 12-hour trip. And then they say, John, can we get a steak dinner on the way home? Now, nobody gives people a steak dinner on a trip like that, but if they ask for it, we will, you know.
Or if people have special dietary needs,
right,
let you know ahead of time.
Let me know.
For instance, hey, could you make sure there's a bunch of non-alcoholic beer?
Right.
Because I like to drink beer, but I can't drink alcohol.
Right.
Or you want to make sure I've got an egg allergy. You want to make sure that, hey, that I eat well on the boat, but at the same time, you got to watch out because I can't have anything with eggs on it. So
right.
That's part of the program that you can offer.
Yep. I've had, in my mind, it sticks in my mind, we've had 2 trips where the people, the whole groups, were vegans.
Oh, that, and they're fishing?
And they're fishing. So we're like...
Catch and release, John?
Yeah.
Well,
but, you know, we accommodated them. You know, I went and I bought, you know, the Bubba burgers or whatever they are, those vegetable burgers.
Soy burger.
Yeah.
How big were the strands of kelp they caught?
Oh, you should have seen it. They were catching salad right and left.
And I don't mean to laugh.
Let me unhook that. We'll throw it back in. Don't throw that in.
And please don't hurt it.
Yeah, right? Right. Yeah, but, you know, I mean,
no.
I've had guys call me up and say, we want this kind of beer. Okay, because I furnish beer on my boat. And if they want, we only drink Corona. We want light beer from Miller. Whatever they want, then I can usually... It's a custom trip. That's what you're getting, is a custom trip. Like Matt says, you don't have your little kids on the boat and some guy there, you know, every other word out of his mouth, the F word, and he's bad-mouthing and this and that and on and on and on. Your little kids have got to listen to that. Or some drunk who just can't get control or you know, some crew... That because his little kid just lost a yellowtail or well, I remember back in the day
screaming at him.
And you got a deckhand screaming at the guy.
Yeah.
Or screaming at dad. You know, I've watched deckhands scream. Why'd you bring these kids out here for? Hey, you know what? Bring them.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Yeah, because of the fact again, you're catering to your customers. So
right.
The customer happens to be a family group. Or I'm sure even a couple of family groups that they get together, they want their kids to have a great time. Because, Stan, I think you can associate with this. It's Father's Day, and some of my most cherished remembrances of my dad are when we went fishing with him and when I went fishing with him in the 60s. I can't remember what happened the day before or the day after, but I can certainly remember what happened that day. We went out fishing. We caught fish. I was with my dad. Stan,
right.
You got that type of memory, too, I think, too.
Well, you know, over and over again, that's who got me started fishing in the first place. And, I mean, I remember the first trips I took on the ocean, you know, and going out and catching calico bass or sand bass and then barracuda, when the barracuda were just in the froth. For miles around, you could see them coming out of the water, and we were...
hooking them as fast as you could catch them, you know. I mean, all of those little things, my first yellowtail, the big yellowtail, was on the Malahini, you know, and Dad took me out on that. I watched them come up and eat the squid when you threw it in the water to them, fought for it, won one, you know. And those are just really memorable experiences with Dad taking you out and teaching you how to fish from trout to tuna. It didn't make any difference, but all of those I still remember well.
Yeah. Guys, tell me, on the charter boats now, you know, we remember in years past that some of our greatest fishing experience was fishing in Mexican waters. Mm-hmm. What's the situation now with taking a charter boat down into Mexican waters, and can you still get permission to fish some of the biosphere islands that we've loved for so many years that now are not necessarily as accessible?
Boy, you just opened up a can of worms.
Well, that's what we're here. When you don't have any commercials for an hour, you get to do a lot of things.
Well,
go to a lot of places where you can.
I have had President of Mexico, senators, the Secretary of Fisheries for Mexico, fish and game guys in Mexico have all fished on my boat when I was in La Paz. And they love us. And here we go. Oh boy, here I go. But as Matt said, nothing against the sport boats. They have their place. They do a job that's needed to be done. They go into Mexican waters. The only money they spend in Mexico, and the bottom line is always about money, the only money they spend in Mexico is getting fishing licenses and maybe visas. Mexican government does not make that much money on that. The yachts, as we are referred to, the six-pack boats, we are referred to as yachts. Mexico loves us, or I'm told. We go down. Yeah, right, Stan. We go down there. We go into a marina. If we have to go in and check in, if we're going on down, we're going in to a marina. Generally, everybody's going to go ashore, have dinner or breakfast or lunch. Somebody's going to wind up going to a market to get, oh, I forgot this. You're going to get fuel. You might stay the night while your paperwork is getting done. Now you're renting a slip. And you know, let's hire that guy. Let's hire Jose there to wash the boat while we're here. This kind of stuff. And we spend money there. And
besides the licenses and visas.
Yeah, we still have to buy licenses and visas and all that stuff. But we're spending, putting more into their economy. It might be just a little bit, but it adds up. And they see that. A lot of people think they don't see that, but they do. And unfortunately, certain entities here have made it almost impossible for us because they're wanting or trying and are doing boxing us in with the commercial sport boats. We are not that. We're still yachts. I mean, you know, how many trips did I do last year to Cedros Island? None. How many trips did I do last year to Guadalupe? None. So if I get a Guadalupe or a Cedros trip, I mean, it's I can do them, no problem. But they just don't come along that much. You know, they're not that much for us. As some of the sports, they've got a schedule. Guadalupe, Guadalupe, Guadalupe. Now they don't fish Cedros. But I went to Cedros and made a deal with those guys so I can go in there and fish Cedros Island. So it's two different worlds, and a lot of people are trying to bundle it all together, and it's not. It's way separate.
You know, I think with the way at least our fishing conditions have been for the past few seasons, that you as skippers, knowing that you're in the entertainment business, you've looked for alternate ways to go out and catch fish, just like us with the MLPAs. Where there are certain areas that we code and catch fish, we find those places where we can catch fish. And you guys have been very good at that, knowing that you can stay out of the biosphere areas. And, yes, it's great to go to Guadalupe Island, Cedros and San Martin and Benedictus and everything like that. But there's other places to catch fish. Matt?
let's not forget about the Baja Coast. From here to Ensenada, there's so much area to fish.
Great fishing down there.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, we did a little crew trip down to Todo Santos, fished along the way, lots of yellowtail, sea bass, calicos, large calicos, 5-pound average in some of those beds. So you don't have to be at the islands to catch fish.
No, I mean, and you want, a lot of times with the groups, you're just with people that want to go out and catch fish.
They just want to go have fun.
You know, you've got a sponsor that's maybe, he's got his employees or whatever it is. They want to make sure that their employees have a good time. That's why they've hired you. That's why they're paying the premium, you know, because they want you to make them look good by choosing you to go out with.
Right, right. And our, you know, our prices, everybody says, oh, you're so expensive. You take my boat, the insurance is $12,000 a year. I carry 1,600 gallons of fuel. I carry four crew. We buy Costco premium steaks for our people. We don't. I don't cut any corners buying. Something cheap. It's top of the line, and if you want it how you want it, that's how you're gonna get it. I carry a ton of bait, and you know people say, well, you're so expensive. You got to compare apples to apples and not oranges to oranges. You got to look at what you get. Jason there from the Grande, he made a real good comment talking about gunny sacks. If you go aboard any boat, and you see a gunny sack around the bait tank, that's where your fish is going to go.
You better run.
Get off of it.
Run away.
That's right, Stanley.
So,
that's right.
On the Escapade, all fish gill and gutted, acclimated to room temperature. On ice, you know, and then fillets included.
Right.
You on a sport boat, a couple big tuna, you'd be paying a lot of money to process that thing.
Sure enough.
It's all included in the price on 6-pack and 4-pack yet.
Wow. So, pardon me, John, duration of the trips. You say that, can you run out of San Diego? Can you go all the way down to Cabo San Lucas or all the way down the coast if you want?
My boat was built with the intention of leaving San Diego, going down to Socorro, back into San Benedicto, and then into Cabo to fish. That's my boat's got a 1,500 mile range, and I pat my own back, or I'm extremely biased, but that boat will do anything. It'll go anywhere. I carry giant amounts of bait. I got four bait tanks. I have a 5-ton fish hold. You know, it's got a water maker. I mean, everything to go out, stay out. It's there. And we can do that. People say, can you do a 3-day trip? I can do a 3-day trip without taking my hands out of my pockets.
Yeah, you know, and San Diego is one of the greatest destinations to come to when it is to go on a fishing trip. And part of what makes that is the availability of bait like that.
Right.
But on the other hand, that bait is not inexpensive because of the expense that Everingham Brothers has to get that bait to you, to cure it, to keep it in good shape. I mean, I know even on the sports fishing boats, a big percentage of what you're paying for is just the cost of bait.
And now fuel is going sky high again. Right. So, you know, I got fuel the other day. It was $3.59 a gallon.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to 4 extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
The warm weather is here and our lakes and rivers are brimming. Just remember, if you love California and you love to boat, please wear your life jacket. And make sure everyone with you puts one on too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Hey, bass fisherman, who do you call for your bass boat insurance? Well, if you're not calling me at 1-800-BASS-BOAT for your boat insurance, you're probably paying too much and may not have the coverage that you need. In 1974, I developed the Bass Boat Program that is what all the pros use today. The reason? No depreciation or any partial claim for your hull, your big motor, your trolling motor, or your electronics until your boat's 10 years old. That's right, you only pay $250 to get your boat on the water for any partial claim, and we still pay a stated value replacement cost for your boat if you have a total loss. We're the only people in the industry that does that, and that's why we are the choice of the pros. So if you want the best, forget the rest. Just call 1-800-BASS-BOAT. Call 1-800-227-7262, or just spell Bass Boat. 1-800-BASS-BOAT. I know there's too many letters, but the T is free and the call's on me. That's 1-800-BASS-BOAT, the choice of the pros for bass boat insurance. For more information, log on to 1-800-BASS-BOAT.com.
Rod and Reel Radio is now available as a podcast you can subscribe to on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcasting app. Get notified as soon as new episodes are available, or go back and listen to our past shows. Browse through all of our archive shows at rodandreelradio.com/archives and click the subscribe button to get started listening now.
Let's talk a little bit about the fishing. Matt, what are you seeing out there from the trips that you've been going out, the biomass that's out there? Do you think we're going to see a prolonged run of bluefin tuna and any chance of seeing any other pelagics coming on down the line?
I think we're going to keep seeing this bluefin as long as we have the bait here. I think the biggest add to the bluefin population has been the quota the Mexicans have put on their seiners. It correlates perfectly. Other than that, I mean, at the Whistler Brewery right now, we've got yellowtail, barracuda, bonita. The sand bass are getting ready to spawn pretty soon. The halibut fishing's been off the hook. Off the hook. I mean, it's been great. Awesome. I've heard of a couple 45s being caught.
Yeah.
And then you've always got rockfish, too. So you come out on a half day, three-quarter day, and we're fishing local. We go catch some rockfish in the morning, the current picks up, and we go fish the kelp, and we catch calico bass, sand bass, and you have a chance of catching a yellowtail or white sea bass, barracuda. It's the perfect time of year to come fishing right now.
You know, and I think there are people out there, and they might agree with me, is that good rockfish, when it comes to eatability, is as fine about as anything as you can get, even talking about the pelagics.
Wow, a vermilion rockfish, an olive rockfish, a Johnny bass? Put a Johnny bass on my plate, and I'm in heaven.
Right. When we were in Alaska, we caught vermilion out of Craig, Alaska, and the skipper was going, man, we don't see very many of those, and we caught four really nice vermilion, and they were in the five-pound range. They were huge vermilion. And as they do in Alaska, they'll prepare them for you, and they vacuum pack them, and then you get them home. And I'm putting them in my freezer, and I'm looking at these fish, and I've got black bass, and I've got salmon, and I've got lingcod, and I've got halibut. And then I see this bag marked snapper. Mm-hmm. I'm going, I wonder where the hell we got snapper from, you know? So I put that in the freezer. And about a couple of months later, you're looking for something a little bit different, and there you go, the snapper. I wonder what the snapper is. It turned out to be those vermilion.
Yeah.
And those were absolutely the best-tasting fish. As a matter of fact, I had a couple of other packs that were marked as snapper, and the guys that mismarked them, they were actually black bass. And you don't think you could tell the difference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can. Oh, yeah.
Great eating. Yeah. John, how about yourself? What do you don't have? I don't think you're going to have to go far to catch great fish this year. But one of the nice things you offer on going on out on a six-pack trip, you can get out there quicker, you can fish longer, you can stay longer, and if you need to come on back and only go out for one day, you can get a lot more time on the water than you can in some of the other ways.
Mostly because, let's just say I haven't I haven't been called Captain Midnight for nothing.
That's just because you fall asleep.
Yeah, fall asleep at the wheel.
No. You're at anchor.
After midnight, you're.
Yeah. No, I've had the landing call me up. John, are you doing an extended three-quarter day trip today, or what's up? I'll be back when I'm back. But if we're catching fish or something like that, it's back down to everything. Custom trip, make the people happy, and. That's what you do. So what? You stay out another hour or so. If I don't have a turnaround trip booked for the same time, I'm going to stay on them. Hey, yeah. We got fish biting. We're here.
You're a fisherman too. You want to see your people as successful as they want to be.
I want to see that back deck covered with fins and blood.
Oh man, I can understand.
I want those people to experience what I experienced, what got hooked me on fishing.
Right.
Okay. Now, guys, how about, and we're always talking about that, you get a group comes in, maybe they're in an association meeting here in San Diego or someone's vacationing from Phoenix or whatever it is, and they go, I want to give this a try. They brought absolutely nothing with them. Tell us about what you can supply them with.
Yeah, Matt, John and I both have every piece of gear that you would ever need. All you need to show up with on the boat is your jacket, and that's it.
Maybe a hat and a good attitude. That's right.
Sunscreen.
A pair of underwear. Away you go.
You don't even need that.
I can attest to that because John has been in my shop here in La Mesa several times, and man, he goes up and down those tackle aisles, and if I have it, he needs it. It's going fishing with him. So right. Yeah.
Well, that's what you have to do. You've got to stay on top of the technology. Even rods, reels, everything is changing now. It's all better gear. Years ago, I would have said, two-speed, come on.
A Penn Long Beach?
Yeah, right. What do you do with these jig, man? I have people who come aboard. I still got some 6-aughts and stuff like that. What do you do with these? It's like, oh, man,
Hey. The 4 and 6-aughts are great trolling rods for albacore, yellowfin.
That was the reel.
Yes, I still use it to troll.
Right.
Yeah.
And but now I got a sponsorship from Okuma, so we're switching all of my rods, all of my reels off to Okuma equipment, and we're going with 2-speeds and braided line, but it's not so much. It helps. In what you're doing, but with our boats, it's kind of something where I hate to use the terminology upper echelon. This makes it sound so arrogant, but
you are a yacht.
Yeah, right. We're supposed to be a yacht. They come aboard, paying good money. They expect to see top of the line equipment for them, and you better give it to them, because otherwise. You're way behind.
Right. Matt, in the few minutes that we have left here, skipper of the Escalade out of San Diego, you got some people that could be on the edge. They're thinking about doing this. What can you say to them that will help them make a decision to come and fish with you on a six-pack?
Whew. There's so much.
That's the deal. There's just so much to offer.
There's so much to offer when you come aboard my boat. I'm going to treat you better than family, because we all know how family can be.
Yeah, but I hope so, especially on Father's Day.
Myself, my partner, my crew, I mean, it's the utmost respect for our customers. And everybody knows it's fishing. You might not catch fish. It's fishing. But you're going to have a heck of a time.
All right.
And you're going to come back. And I strive that when you walk off that boat, you're going to call your buddy or text somebody and say, man, wow, I haven't been treated like that in a long time. Because I'm what the kids call old school. The name of our charter is Lineage Charters. I like having a lineage of great customer service, quality. Quality is a way above quantity. So, I mean, if you guys want to check us out, lineagecharters.com. My partner runs the Instagram, Lineage Charters. Check us out. You won't be disappointed. You'll have the time of your life. And we're going to do whatever we can do to catch fish. Sometimes it's out of our hands. But you guys are going to laugh. You're going to have a good time. And you're going to walk away with good experience.
Yeah, and John Guest, the same question for you. But when people are considering, you get a group of six people together, men, women, all guys, family, whatever it is, you want to go out for entertainment. Let's say you want to go to Las Vegas. The cost of flying to Las Vegas, getting your rooms, eating and drinking, you know, God forbid you want an alcoholic beverage, seeing a couple of shows. And then they also have a little gaming over there that mm-hmm. sometimes can cost you a little money. All of a sudden, the same duration of time, the experience that you're offering is very competitive.
Yeah, I as far as wanting to go do something, have a good time, absolutely. We like Matt says, you know, you can't control the fishing. I mean, I can get you to them. We can stand and look at them, but I can't make them bite. But you're going to come off of that boat feeling good about your trip. I've got a cook that just keeps stuff coming out of that galley, mm-hmm. and I you know, she's under instructions that, you know, if the fish ain't biting, keep them fed. Okay. So, you know, that's what we do, and it's a whole different experience.
Let's get down to the particulars now. Matt Johnson from the Escalade, we've been hearing about you. If we want to find out how to get aboard to go with you, what kind of trips you offer, capacity, durations, things like that, we really want to put together a custom package. How's the best way to get a hold of you?
First of all, never hesitate to give us a call, 858-255-4055.
And we're calling?
858-255-4055. Don't ever hesitate to call me. I'm kind of old school. I like to talk to people on the phone. You can check us out on Instagram, Lineage Charters, and lineagecharters.com. But we offer anywhere from half-day fishing to two-day trips. We don't have the range John has, but that's not our specialty.
I understand.
But if there's any kayak guys listening, I want to put together some six-pack mother trip kayak trips to San Clemente, Santa Barbara, and even maybe Cortez.
And John, Faith Sports Fishing, how's the best way to get to you and really tailor a package?
Right now, I have somebody is putting together a media kind of a package for me. They're putting together my own website, Instagram, and Facebook. So we're in process of doing that. But for now, you can get a hold of me at my phone number, which is 714-743-2640, or through H&M Landing. We book out of H&M Landing, so I'm on their website. There's photos of the boat. And you can reach me also at faithsportfishing@hotmail.com.
All right. Captain Matt Johnson from Legacy Sports Fishing, running the Escalade, and good friend of Rod and Reel Radio for a long time. Captain John Guest, thanks for being with us, guys. John,
thanks for inviting us.
Yeah, the memories just go back and back.
Oh, so boy.
We thank you for your expertise and doing that. And Stan, I hope you have a great Father's Day set up for you, sir.
You know, we have fired up the pizza oven in the backyard.
There you go.
And we're getting ready to do a little pizzeria back there with some fine wines and some fun.
What was that address?
Well, I learned about this. We just fired it up. We just learned how to do this at the Memorial Day weekend or whatever it is this last 30th year.
Yeah.
I had to cook about 30 pizzas real quick, learn how to do it.
It's a learning curve.
Yeah, the learning curve was steep and definite, but I've graduated, and now we know how to do it. So we're having a few people over, and we're going to enjoy some time.
All your pizzas have anchovies on them, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'd rather have bluefin, but I haven't got any.
Right?
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Stan Verenberg, Woody Toshihara, myself, all our staff here, Ron Real Radio, Otto, our engineer at the AM 540 studios, Ben Harvey here in San Diego, thanks a lot for being with us. You have a great Father's Day. Always in memory of Big Tuna Bill and Eddie McCune, who left this legacy, which is Rod and Reel Radio. Mr. Paul Leader, Al Cohn Ford, that helped us for so many years staying on the air. Hey, go out and get them. The fishing's terrific, both freshwater and saltwater. We want to see you on the water. So good night, everyone. We're out for now. Have a great Father's Day. Gone fishing
by a shady, weighty pool.
Shangri-La. Really laugh.
I'm wishing I could be that kind of fool.
Shall I twist your arm?
I'd say no more work for my...
Welcome to the club.